Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. Today's public safety communication systems lack the capabilities of modern networks and commercial devices. This fragmentation has put the first responders and the public at risk in emergencies like 9/11 and Hurricane Katrina, when different public safety agencies could not communicate with one another. But beyond hampering the effectiveness of public safety officials, this fragmentation also adds to the cost of the communication systems themselves. Informed by the lessons learned from earlier public safety deployments, FirstNet, the next generation public safety communication systems will benefit from strong coordination and the catalyst of federal funds to overcome prior hurdles to interoperability. What are the strategic priorities for FirstNet? How is FirstNet pursuing its outreach strategy with key stakeholders? And what is FirstNet doing to use collaboration and partnership to meet mission? We will explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, T.J. Kennedy, Acting General Manager for the First Responder Network Authority, or FirstNet, within the U.S. Department of Commerce. T.J., welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
It's great to be here.
T.J., our listeners may not be familiar with your organization. So before we delve into specific initiatives, I'd like to provide some context. Would you provide us with an overview of the history, mission, and genesis of FirstNet?
Absolutely. I mean, the First Responder Network Authority, FirstNet, has been put together as part of an act of Congress just in 2012. And it's real responding to a longtime issue in public safety of not having a nationwide network for public safety. Police departments, fire departments, emergency medical services agencies across the country have often had standalone land mobile radio networks and have often had to rely on commercial or other means to get broadband or other data services. And one of the things that happened in 9/11 and a number of big incidents since then is public safety has realized there's a real need to have similar spectrum across the country that all public safety responders can respond on. Also, enough dedicated spectrum and communications capability for big incidents, very large natural disasters, terrorist events, or even large gatherings when you might have an Olympic Games or other big events that may occur. And one of the things that FirstNet was really done was brought together with the spectrum and the funding to build a nationwide network and the ability to leverage the excess capacity so that the network can be sustainable going into the future. A lot of public safety networks in the past have been built with grants, and they're hard to sustain. And by having a sustainability feature as a key element of what's going on with FirstNet, the goal is to have a modern network based on LTE technology that will be upgradable over the future and something that will keep up with the times in telecommunications and in technology.
Operationally, just a little bit, how is FirstNet organized? What's your size of your budget and the number of folks that work for you?
So for FirstNet, we have a $7 billion spectrum sale allotment that is coming into FirstNet over time. This particular budget is driven by some spectrum sales that are separate than the FirstNet spectrum. It's related to the H-Block auction, which occurred earlier this past year, and the upcoming AWS-3 auction, which occurs in November. There's also the broadcast incentive auction, which is scheduled for next year. Those auctions will combine to help put into the Public Safety Construction Fund for FirstNet, the $7 billion of construction funding. The other element that we have is the spectrum that we've been given to provide priority and preemption and dedicated service to public safety will often have some extra capacity during non-emergency times. And that extra capacity is a way for us to help leverage the funding going forward to help make sure that we have maintenance and operations and ongoing ability to upgrade the network as well, which is going to be critical and help us leverage a sustainable network going into the future. FirstNet, as an organization, we are an independent authority. Mm-hmm. As an independent authority, we've been placed into NTIA inside of the Department of Commerce. And NTIA is the National Telecommunications and Information Administration. NTIA has dealt with a lot of major grants related to broadband in the past. They've done a lot of key policy work. And the Department of Commerce has really helped push this forward. And so we have a lot of great support from both the Department of Commerce and NTIA. And we have a 15-member board that actually governs the day-to-day action actions of both me as the acting general manager and our department. And that 15-member board has some great diversity of talent that really helps guide us as we move forward. That 15-member board has the Attorney General, the Secretary of Homeland Security, and also the Director of the Office of Management and Budget on the federal side. We also have some key members that represent state and city type issues. We have Governor Jim Douglas, former governor of Vermont, on the board. We also have Mayor Neese Parker from Houston. So great representation of the state and local government side of the house. We also have public safety represented. And so Chief Chris Burbank from Salt Lake City Police Department. We also have Sheriff Richard Stanek. Sheriff Stanek really helps us represent both the Midwestern part of the country as well as what's going on in the sheriff's world day to day. We have Kevin McGinnis with his great background in emergency medical services, and former Chief Jeff Johnson, who's well-known fire chief. He's done a great job representing the fire industry. And all those together really give us a great cross-section of the board. We have Terry Takai, who was a former state CIO. And so a lot of folks that you know, and Terry moved on into DOD as the CIO as well. I mean, just an amazing amount of talent that really helps give us a great amount of feedback. And then most importantly, on top of that, we also have telecom and wireless background executives. So Sue Swenson, who's the chair of our board. Sue has an amazing background and has just been a terrific leader for us to work with. The C-level team at FirstNet really takes a lot of great direction from this board on a day-to-day basis. Other key telecom executives, Ed Reynolds, Tim Bryan, really a great cross-section of both rural and major telecoms, and brings that kind of diverse background to FirstNet that I think really helps drive to understand the enormity of this project and what we're trying to accomplish. So that 15-member board is something that is unique to this independent authority, and I think for us really gives us capabilities that many others don't have. From a leadership team perspective, we have a more of a corporate-looking environment than you would see in government every day. So I have a chief technical officer, I have a chief information officer, I have a chief financial officer, I have a chief counsel, I have a chief administrative officer. And so it's much more geared in a typical corporate format, but at the same point, we still follow all the federal rules and regulations when it comes to hiring and procurement and things like that.
So what about your role as acting general manager of FirstNet? Could you tell us about some of your responsibilities? And how do you support the overall mission of the Department of Commerce?
As far as overall responsibilities go, I think it's to really make sure that I organize a group and the functioning of all we have to do as an organization to execute the mission of building a nationwide public safety broadband network for public safety. This is public safety's network. And at the end of the day, my job is to make sure that every minute of every day, our team knows that public safety needs this network. Public safety is going to rely on this network as a 24/7, you know, mission-critical network for what they do, and to make sure that the wheels of all the different departments are running with great synergy as we move forward and with an act of urgency. You know, this is not something we want to take too long of a period of time, and that speed of deployment and moving forward is something I want to make sure everybody has every day. For me, being able to have an organization that acts more like a startup for public safety is something that I think is really important. And so that urgency and mission focus on public safety is something that I think is one of the most critical elements of my job each day.
And I was wondering, given the fact that this project is such a significant project in terms of its breadth and depth, you must face a lot of challenges. So what are your three top challenges, and how have you sought to address those challenges?
For me, I think challenge number one is the key focus in a national organization to remember our state, local, city, county public safety mission that we have every day, as well as the national public safety mission, and mirroring those all together. There's over 60,000 public safety agencies in America. Some of them as small as one or two individuals, and some of them are very, very large, like a New York Police Department or a Fire Department of New York. And it's such a great diversity of public safety size and scope and from volunteer departments that are some of the largest portions of fire departments across the country, to emergency medical services agencies that are run by hospitals and private organizations, and to police and sheriff's departments that have all different sizes and shapes. And so that focus on public safety in everything we do, I think, is the most important challenge that we have, and the diversity that comes with it. I think moving quickly. when a lot of folks look at national endeavors, moving quickly is not always used in the same sentence, and bureaucracy or other things can get in the way. And so I think getting to yes is one of the most important things that I try to have my team focus on when working with other agencies, the relationships and the communication skills that are needed to make things happen every day, I think is an important part of what we're doing. And then lastly, just building an organization and the culture, having a culture that is more structured as a startup, having a culture with that focus on getting things done and doing what we say we're going to do.
Yeah. And with those challenges that you've encountered, what has surprised you most since taking your current role?
I think the biggest surprise is the amount of constituents and stakeholders that we have that are both internal and external. We're very clear on our external stakeholders, but there's a lot of internal stakeholders across government, different federal agencies, Congress, which has a key oversight role in what we do, and just all of the communication that's needed in all fronts, both outwardly with public safety, program management, and just the key organization of running staff, along with each of those internal customers as well. And it takes a lot of time in communications, and it's broader than a lot of people would think. I've recently come from the private sector, although I've had a public safety and public career as well. It's much more complex than if you were doing this in the private sector.
That's interesting, yeah. And I was wondering, you know, given that background, both the private and public sector, leadership is critical in no matter what arena you're in. And could you give us a sense of the key leadership principles you follow and maybe illustrate those in practice?
Yes, for me, I think the most important elements to me are three things. Number one, having honesty in everything that we do and being very direct with all of our constituents about what's happening, both good and bad. I think that's really important. Number two, I believe in the rule of no surprises. And no surprises means that we're going to make mistakes and we have to let people know when that happens. We also have to be very clear in communicating all those things back and forth. And I think the third thing is being accountable for our actions. And having accountability also means giving your team authority. And I think, pushing that authority down the lowest possible level so that you can get things done quickly is critical. Many times in large government organizations, that's not the case. There's a very large hierarchy. And I think for us, it's very important to have that accountability down as low as possible so that we can move with some agility. And I think that's really important.
What are the strategic priorities for FirstNet? We will ask TJ Kennedy, Acting General Manager of FirstNet, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.